بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 28th of March in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we've completed the 8th week the 56th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. So moving on to the next section entitled The Year of Ash 18 AH, the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu's love for those under his authority became manifest to one and all during the fateful year of the famine Am al-Ramada. The year of Ash occurred in the year 18 AH, during the 5th year of Umar's reign radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As was now around 73 years of age radiyallahu anhu. In that year occurred a severe drought and famine. It was called the year of Ash due to the lack of rain, which made the soil as dark as ashes, which the wind then carried as dust. People emigrated from the desert to Al-Madinah in search of food to allay their hunger. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu did not withhold anything from them until the Bayt al-Mal eventually ran out of both food and money. Such was his concern that Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu thereupon even denied himself meat and ghee to further provide for the ailing Muslims. In Al-Bidayah 7-90, it mentions, in times of prosperity, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to eat bread dipped in milk and ghee. But in that year, he ate it with oil and vinegar. He thus lost weight, he became sallow. The Muslims feared greatly for him. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is prosperity. Imagine, you think, okay, in times of ease, what was he eating? He was dipping bread in milk and ghee. Because that's prosperity. For him it was. But that year, he was dipping it in oil and vinegar. And of course, it affected his health. The people now started fearing for Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu anhu. Iyad ibn Khalifa, he said, rahmatullah alayh, when I saw Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu during the year of Ash, his face had darkened. He was an Arab man who ate ghee and yogurt. However, when drought afflicted the people, he forbade himself from eating those foods. Instead, he ate olive oil until the color of his skin changed. Indeed, he very often went hungry for long periods of time. This is in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat 3-314. So here, ghee and yogurt, that was his kind of staple diet with bread. He stopped that and he was now dipping it in olive oil and his countenance changed. His servant Aslam went as far as to say, rahmatullah alayh, we used to say amongst ourselves that had not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the drought that took place during the year of Ash, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would have perished out of concern for the plight of Muslims. This is in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat 3-315. So think about this. This is your ruler. Nah. If somebody goes, think of where Muslims are suffering and the Muslims are in charge. You think, are you being serious? Right? He goes, what's the ruler got to do with them? And here, the Amir al-Mu'mineen is suffering equally to those, or even more so, because he wanted to feel what they were going through. Indeed, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had sworn an oath in this regard. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu swore not to drink milk, to eat meat or ghee, until he could provide the Muslims with a bare existence. Things got worse until even the wild animals attacked and devoured people to allay their hunger. This is in Tabri in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 98. So he swore a qasam. He says, I'm not going to drink milk, eat meat or ghee until Allah Ta'ala alleviates the situation. And he goes, it got so bad that animals even attack humans now. That's how desperate things became. A narration clarifies why Umar imposed this upon himself. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu was filled with sadness and pain for the Muslims. He used to say that in order to feel for his people, he had to feel the pinch of hunger as they did. This is in Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 98. So he didn't just want to say, I feel for the people. He wanted to know what they were going through. He himself said it. Because I can only know what they're going through if I feel it. So he did it deliberately upon himself. So he knows what they were going through. His family were also put upon lockdown. In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat 3-315. One day during the year of Ash, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu saw a watermelon in the hands of one of his sons. So a slice of watermelon. Sayyidina Umar immediately said, Subhanallah, the son of the Amir al-Mumineen, are you eating a fruit? Whilst members of the nation of Rasulullah have emaciated bodies. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The young boy then ran, weeping. But Umar radiallahu did not let the matter rest until he inquired further into the matter and find out that his son had purchased the watermelon for a handful of seeds. In Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat. So let's look at this. So his son's got a slice of watermelon. He's thinking, okay. He couldn't tolerate it. He goes, the ummah of Rasulullah's bodies are shrinking. You're having a slice of watermelon. And he ran out. The son started running. When he made inquiries, he goes, he had exchanged it for a handful of seeds. Meaning he didn't even have money, his son. Aslam further clarified, Rahmatullah Ali, during the year of Ash, Sayyidina Umar ate nothing from the homes of his children and wives. He ate only what was prepared for the suffering people until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life back to the people, aye, by sending rain. This is in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 228, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 151 of the New English Translation. Think about that. He didn't eat from his own dwelling. He considered that too much. So imagine, he's got his wives, they've got their dwellings, nothing. Nor from his children, didn't eat nothing from their dwelling. He goes, I have to suffer what the people are suffering. How long did this last, this test? Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said, the famine lasted for 9 months. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 90. So for 9 months, he was going through these great hardships to feel what the people were feeling. There seemed no end in sight. The people were now desperate. So what happened? So now this is important. This narration, some think it's a weak report. And you ask them, why is this hadith weak? They say the narrator, Malik Ad-Dar, he is unknown. So obviously, if you've got an unknown narrator narrating something, it's going to be a weak report. Is Malik Ad-Dar a weak narrator or unknown? So first of all, who is he? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu's freed servant and treasurer, Malik Ad-Dar radiallahu, he said, the people were stricken by famine during Umar radiallahu's time. A man thereupon went to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said in desperation, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please ask for rain, for your ummah is now in desperate need. So stop in the report. According to some, this is major shirk. So how can it be major shirk when the narrator is Umar's freed servant and treasurer? He goes, a man went to the grave of Rasulullah, and what did he say? Look at the wording. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, Ya Rasulullah. He's talking to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please ask for rain, for your ummah is now in desperate need. the same companion saw Rasulullah in his dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to him, go to Umar radiallahu, and give him my regards and compliments on doing a magnificent job. Also inform him that the rain will soon come. Tell him that he should not slacken. He should be on his toes. He should be on his toes. The companion, upon awaking, rushed to Umar radiallahu anhu and passed the great glad tidings to him. On hearing this, Umar radiallahu anhu burst into tears. And he said, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that I am exerting myself to the full until I am completely exhausted. So let's look at this. Where is this recorded? In Abu Ya'la, Bayhaqi in his Dila'il Nubu'ah 7-47, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 12,051, Ibn Abi Khaytama, Qanzul Umar, number 23,535, Al-Istiyab 2-464, Al-Bidaya 5-167, Hafiz Ibn Kathir said Sahih. Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani in Al-Isaba 3-484 and in Fath al-Bari 2-495 stated Sahih. Hafiz Zahabi Rahmatullah Ali in his Sir 2-524. Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullah Ali also endorsed its authenticity in his book Iqtida, page 373. Hafiz Qastalani Rahmatullah Ali also endorsed its authenticity in his Al-Mawahib 4-276. Hafiz Zurqani also supported Qastalani in his commentary 11-150. So if these are not our scholars, we were no scholars. So you rejected all those scholars. This is a fabricated report. So who are these scholars? Right? The highest levels of scholarship. Sahih, sahih, all over the place. So why do they have a problem with this? Because a man has approached Rasulullah and talked to him in his grave. They say this is major shirk. So now, let me just mention this. I don't want to bore you with authenticity. They say Malik ad-Dar is not known. That's their argument. This is not the case. How do we know? Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith, he said, where? In Al-Isaba, number 8350 or 6-164. So these are his words. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi. Sayyidina Malik ibn Iyad, radiallahu anhu, was Umar radiallahu anhu's freed man. He is the one named Malik al-Dar, radiallahu anhu. He saw Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard narration from Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. He narrated from Abu Bakr, Umar, Mu'ad, Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Bukhari related from him. It is Tariq al-Kabir 7-304 as well as Ibn Abi Khaytama. So why have I mentioned that? I thought he was not known. So you notice, depending level of scholarship, if you've gone down to the lower ends of scholarship, they're going to make mistakes. And not only have they made a mistake, they said this is major shirk. Anything can, how can a Sahaba commit major shirk in the capital of Islam, next to Rasulullah's grave, under Umar's authority? Imagine he goes to Umar, tells him, then Umar starts slapping him. Astaghfirullah, committing major shirk, going to Rasulullah after he passed. Who told it? Didn't say anything. He started weeping. So note again, this is important. The reason I've mentioned that is because there's some strange people. It wouldn't be too bad if they said this is not correct. But they don't say that because this is major shirk. You ask Rasulullah for anything, that's major shirk. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another incident, around the same time, in Tabari, in his Tariq 2-509, in the year of Ash, Sayyidina Bilal ibn al-Harith, not the Muazzin, another Sahaba, radiallahu, while slaughtering a sheep from his skin, he noticed that the sheep's bones had turned red due to the drying flesh which was clinging to them. He thereupon cried in desperation, Ya Muhammad, ah! Ya Muhammad, ah! Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later he saw Rasulullah in a dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ordering him to go to Umar, radiallahu anhu, with the tidings of rain coming on condition that Umar radiallahu anhu show wisdom. Hearing this, Umar radiallahu anhu assembled the people and came out to pray for rain with Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah, with him. So now again, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, major shirk, brother. Sahaba said it. He goes, which narration? You ask him which narration? You said you're committing shirk, and you're asking me which narration? Right? That's like making a judgment without the proof in front of you. Astaghfirullah. Why am I mentioning these reports? Look how desperate things got. Would the Sahaba ever trouble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Never. The fact that Sahaba Malik Ad-Dar humbly asked Rasul, please Ya Rasulullah, your ummah is dying. Look at the desperation. Now another Sahaba, he's slaughtering and the meat and the bones together. And what does he say in desperation? He's Ya Muhammad Ah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet didn't come in his dream and say, is this what I told you? Go direct. He goes, go to Umar. And what happened? He did the prayer for rain with Abbas radiallahu. It is here the following famous incident took place. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyidina Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiallahu, he said, one day I saw Umar radiallahu during a famine. He was wearing plain clothing and he was supplicating. The size of his shirt was such it didn't even reach his knees. His voice was aloft with istighfar, seeking forgiveness. And tears were flowing from his eyes over his cheeks. To his right was Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu. He too was supplicating and weeping to his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu thereupon grasped Abbas's hand, radiallahu, and said, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I beg your intercession through the medium of your Rasul's uncle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas all the while continued to stand on his side for a long time and was invoking whilst tears were flowing from the eyes of both. So now what is Umar teaching us? Wasila. One sahaba goes to the grave, that's a lawful method of asking Allah Ta'ala for help. Another one is saying, Ya Muhammad Ah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another wasila from which Allah Ta'ala will send his help. Umar radiallahu anhu is now going through a family member of Rasulullah who was still alive, his uncle. And he actually explicitly said that, I beg your intercession through the medium of your messenger's uncle. And what's interesting, nobody argues over this one. Right? So not some they argue, some they don't. But the response is, if the Sahaba did it, that's what I believe. What did they do? And if you say they did something and it's wrong, then what's the difference between you and the Rawafid and the Khawarij? And just to add this, in Ibn Asakir, Ibn Abi Dunya, Kanz al-Umal 4-290, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 560 of the New English Translation, a severe drought afflicted the people during the time of Umar radiallahu. Thus he took them out of the city, led them in two rakats of Salah. Thereafter he overturned his shawl, bringing the right to the left and vice versa. He then stretched out his arms and supplicated, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we beg your forgiveness and we beg you to send us rain. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had not yet moved from his place when, subhanallah, the rain started to fall. Some days later, Bedouins arrived in Al-Madinah. They went to Umar radiallahu anhu and explained that they were in the valley on a certain day, at a certain time, when, subhanallah, some clouds covered them. And we heard a voice from the cloud say, O Abu Hafs, help has arrived. O Abu Hafs, help has arrived. In Ibn Asakir, Ibn Abi Dunya, Kanzul Umal, Hayat al-Sahab. So what's happened? The rain comes after the Salat al-Istisqa, the Salat for rain. But amazingly, the cloud that was being sent, how many miles it was away, Bedouins heard a voice in the clouds. And because we heard a voice, O Abu Hafs, help has arrived. Who's Abu Hafs? Umar. So why are the angels speaking to the Bedouins? They were honoring the Bedouins. The Bedouins then came The rain's already come because we heard something strange, Amirul Mu'mineen. So Allah Ta'ala was arranging for the rain to come. And who did Allah Ta'ala honor above others? Umar. Calling him by his kunyat. O Abu Hafs, help has arrived. In other words, you did everything in your power. Alhamdulillah. And just to add this, in Bayhaqi, in his Sunan 6-357, Umar radiallahu anhu, he wept when the rains came. A man from Banu Muharib ibn Khasfa thereupon said in praise, I bear witness that you are relieved and you are not the son of a slave woman. So he was praising Umar. Umar became angry radiallahu anhu. He was, woe to you. I would have accepted this praise if I had spent my own wealth or the wealth of my father Al-Khattab. But I have spent the wealth of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This is in Bayhaqi in his Sunan 6-357. So what happened? People obviously wanted to congratulate Umar. So one man said to him, you know, and he was basically saying, because of you, Allah Ta'ala has helped us. Because you are truly not the son of a slave woman, meaning you are a noble person. But why did he get angry? This is his justice. He goes, I didn't spend any money from my own wealth. Because I was using the Bayt al-Mal. But in reality, he was spending from his own wealth. He didn't like praise. So not even though he was worthy of praise, he didn't like people praising him for this. So all of this are the mechanics of the year of Ash. And inshallah, tomorrow, I will explain how Amr ibn al-As now came into the equation. Where was he at the time? What was he doing? And all of this is needed for you to build up to how the others reacted. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And this was the 18th year after the Hijrah. So in which year was Jerusalem opened? 15th. So this is 3 years after Jerusalem was opened. So notice Umar, there was amazing things taking place. Islam was spreading, you know, like wildfire. At the same time, severe tests were being sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was like a mountain. Whatever was being thrown at him, he was taking it because he was trained by the best. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والاصل الحق والاصل الصبر صدق الله